Hello, good morning everybody. I'm Marifa Lugo with the Santa Clara County Public Health Department. I'm going to talk about using the Promotora model to increase community emergency preparedness. And just to preface, I'd like to say that it's not a research paper per se, but an actual project that we actually have implemented, so it's really boots on the streets kind of a project. So first, presenter disclosures. I have no relationships to disclose. And so today's session and purpose is really to share some best practices and lessons learned in working with and implementing an actual promotora or a community lay health worker based project to increase community emergency preparedness and planning in the Latino community. So a little bit of background, since 2010, our department has worked with two community-based organizations that actually organize and train promotoras to implement a number of different grassroots outreach campaigns. We originally partnered on this project when the 2009 H1N1 flu began, towards the second wave at the end. As part of the CDC Take the Lead campaign, which is really kind of a campaign to really reach out to underserved communities of color. And so we partnered up and then from there expanded the program on another phase to do a broader emergency preparedness campaign with the Latino community by using some materials that were adapted and developed by Monterey County Health Department, which I see some colleagues here, so it's great to see you guys. They're part of the Maryland APC Advanced Practice Center's program, and so we were able to utilize some of their training materials and really adapt it and create a really nice project out of it. So just to reiterate some of the objectives for my presentation, is really to discuss the Promotora model to increase family and emergency community planning, defining the roles of promotoras before and during an emergency and even after an emergency, and then to discuss formulating a promotora training program on public health emergency preparedness. So we have, like I mentioned, we have two programs that we've actually implemented, the CDC's Take the Lead campaign to reach out to underserved communities of color to educate them on the H1N1 flu and increase vaccination rates. So this campaign really allowed us, it was a great opportunity as a case study to really implement and roll out the Promotora model during a real emergency, during an actual H1N1 flu pandemic. So we learned a lot of lessons within that project because it was during an actual emergency, and what better way to learn some real lessons than actually being in the field and doing it during an emergency. And because of the success of that program, we actually applied for more funding in our FEP grant to expand the program to do more of a broader emergency preparedness campaign to really educate the Latino community about different public health emergencies that exist and how to plan for those, and then really assist them with some hands-on tools to getting their family emergency plan together, coordinating neighborhood groups, and identifying community locations where they can meet up during an emergency. So the case study, just a little background, of Santa Clara County, we're a pretty diverse community of 1.8 million residents. It's very diverse, and it's made up of one-third Caucasians, one-third Asian Americans, and one-third Latinos. And during both waves of the 2009 H1N1 flu pandemic, Latinos experienced overall higher hospitalization rates and death rates due to the H1N1 flu. Nationally, they experienced nearly double the hospitalization rates for H1N1 as compared to whites, which was 30.7 per 100,000 people compared to just 16.3, and higher death rates than whites, Asian, Pacific Islanders, and African Americans, according to the CDC. And we were seeing the same trend in our EPI reports within the Santa Clara County Public Health Department. But what was really fascinating, which we were really surprised, is when we were noticing that relatively few Latinos were actually showing up to our public mass vaccination clinics. And we had huge clinics. We had, I don't know how many, over a course of 3 months, every weekend, and we heavily promoted these clinics as free. We did an extensive ethnic media push with Spanish radio, Asian media, and also reaching out to our community-based and FB faith-based organizations. So we did actually communicate to those partnerships that we had, sending information. But we still noticed that we were not being effective in reaching the Latino community. They weren't showing up to get vaccinated. So in February 2010, that's when we decided to join the CDC's Take the Lead campaign to really engage and mobilize ethnic communities to achieve the goal of vaccination and preparation. And so we started with a focus group with the Latino community members and some leaders about the H1N1 vaccine. And we found and discovered some interesting key issues of why Latinos were not showing up. And really, it was a lot of myths really around vaccine safety, the effectiveness, and ulterior government motives. There's a lot of misinformation and just general lack of awareness of basic health education about even how vaccines work, the science behind a vaccine, what is it, you know, how does it prevent one from getting sick, and then the difference between just regular seasonal flu and a pandemic. So there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of confusion, just in the simple things that we, you know, as public health professionals, know and take for granted, but maybe not communicate to the community at their level for them to understand. There was also just a lot of fear of having to provide even documentation at the clinic, so just the fear of showing up to a clinic, and then the inconvenient clinic locations and times. You know, a lot of these immigrant families have, you know, 2-3 jobs. They're not available during the day or even weekend. We did hold a lot of weekend clinics, but even then, a lot of these people work on the weekends. And there's things that, you know, we thought we were meeting the community needs, but in reality, we actually weren't, and we found this out through our focus group. And then even transportation issues to the clinic. Some other things that we discovered that were really interesting were some community attitudes and beliefs that we didn't take into account regarding the H1N1. And there was basically a sense of stigma because the government was pinpointing the origin of the H1N1 to Mexico and creating an anti-immigrant sentiment in the community. There's also the sense that H1N1 was nothing but a government ploy or propaganda to distract the masses from real issues affecting their communities. People were questioning whether the H1N1 was even a real flu. There's also the fear, and I think that's fears in other communities as well, as the fear of being a guinea pig for government experiments. Latinos also believe that the government maybe ended up with too much supply, because at the end, you know, we're really pushing that message, get your vaccine, and so they had the sense that we're trying to dump, you know, extra vaccine on the immigrants simply because we had to get rid of it and we had an extra supply. And then, of course, the last two, which a lot of people had this belief, is a vaccine is ineffective, it doesn't really work, and then just the fear of the vaccine and side effects. So there was a lot of reports of people getting sick after getting the flu vaccine, and then, you know, there's a whole movement against just vaccines and the safety around them. And so we delved a little bit deeper to find out where the source of misinformation was coming from, and we found, of course, that word of mouth is the biggest, especially with immigrant communities. They're very tight-knit, they live in a very, you know, geographic area, and they have a very tight social network with family, neighbors, and friends. And that is where they get their information from, not from government sources, from the website, even from the partners or health care providers that are out there. So we call it chisme or gossip talk. So that goes on a lot, especially in the Latino community. People like to talk and gossip. And so that was one of the big sources. The other one was conflicting messages on even popular Spanish TV and radio talk shows, where there were a panel of expert doctors debating vaccine safety and effectiveness. So there was plenty of doctors discouraging the public from getting a vaccine because they didn't think it was tested enough or safe. And then just news media reports of, you know, 3 possible cases of deaths related to the vaccine, which caused a lot of doubt and fear. And so these 3 sources combined create what we call the chain effect, which is, you know, when one person hears it, they pass it on to their social network. They're going to pass it on to their aunts and their uncles and their cousins, and they're going to say, you know, don't get the vaccine because I heard on the news, or I heard from my friend down the street that they got sick as soon as they got that, you know, H1N1 vaccine. So these were the 4 main sources of information, which we knew we had to do a lot of work to, you know, rectify and get that information out. So that's when we decided to use the Promotora model, because we recognize that communities of color do not readily trust information produced by the government. They trust their own family, neighbors, friends, healthcare providers, promotoras, Latino celebrities, and their community leaders. So promotoras, you know, the lay outreach workers, are trusted and trained community members that residents turn to for information. And utilizing the promotoras is a unique way to facilitate the provision of health services and information, particularly in communities that have been historically underserved. So our collaboration in the spring of 2002 was with two community-based organizations, and they were contracted basically to implement a real grassroots street outreach project to provide H1N1 education and information and also encourage vaccination to the monolingual Spanish-speaking community. The promotoras were trained by our emergency preparedness staff at the Santa Clara Public Health Department. We did take some materials from the lead campaign from the CDC, so they had some materials in Spanish about H1N1, and we took those, you know, basic materials and adapted them, localized them for our community, and then we conducted our series of trainings with the promotoras. So after we hired the group, we kind of did a train-the-trainer model where we got the main promotoras together, the ones that were really going to train some of the other promotoras and their networks on H1N1 flu, vaccination, and then to dispel all of these rumors and myths. So it was about an 8-hour training, and then they had subsequent follow-up trainings with their own staff and so forth. So the grassroots campaign really included providing small group presentations in private homes, at family parties, at quinceañeras, at weddings, where people actually gather. At businesses, at their supermarkets, at their churches, at the community centers, at their schools. So in the community is where you know, the campaign took place. So the outcomes of the campaign, the first campaign, it was a 3-month campaign from April through June, resulted in over 300 presentation venues at health fairs, churches, apartment complexes, migrant camps, and more, and reached over 13,000 individuals in these different venues. Over 20,000 pandemic flu educational materials were distributed, and referrals were made to our H1N1 vaccination clinics, which we also held some specific H1N1 mass vaccination clinics at some of their community events. For example, we held at the Cinco de Mayo Festival, we had a huge mass vaccination clinic within one of the events. So we held multiple of those type of community clinics that were tied into other events going on in the community. And our partners as well, we have partnered with St. Louis Regional Hospital. Their clinics provided vaccinations and so forth. So because of the success of that campaign, it was a 3-month campaign, and we had special funding through the CDC through the Take the Lead campaign, which was really focused on H1N1. But we realized that this was a great way to just get the word out to the Latino community. We thought, wouldn't it be great if we could expand this and find funding to do a broader emergency preparedness campaign? And so, you know, to really educate the Latino community on the different types of public health emergencies that exist, and then how to prepare for all those different kinds. So we're talking about biological, chemical, and radiological. So there's, you know, different types of emergencies, and what are the steps that they can take to prepare. And then to also assist families in actually putting together their family emergency and neighborhood preparedness plans and emergency kits using a promotora-led project, you know, with presentation, workshops, and one-on-one outreach. So the promotora outreach goals, their goals were to instruct as many people as possible through outreach and group presentations, utilize the Be Prepared model by BeReady.gov, and then teach the 3 easy steps for emergency preparedness, so having supplies at home and developing an emergency supply kit, having a family plan put together with the contacts that they need, you know, locally and out of the area, and then how to stay informed and be informed and sign up for information. It also included forming small neighborhood groups with coordinators, as well as identifying community locations such as a church, a community center, a school, where, you know, folks that don't have space to store emergency supplies or so forth could meet at with their community neighbors. So identifying places where people could gather and meet during an emergency. And then finally assisting persons in enrolling in our county's Alert SEC, which is basically a reverse 911 notification system that calls out and gives emergency alerts and updates to people that are enrolled. During the actual sessions, the objectives for the promotoras that were expected for the participants were to identify various types of public health emergencies and what actions to take, And to also describe our own community measures of preparedness design at the county, state, and national level so that they're aware of what we're doing as emergency responders, you know, what are our plans, what can they expect from, you know, the county public health department, and what should they plan and prepare for, you know. There's a lot of misconceptions that we may just come and save everybody, and we have all kinds of supplies and resources, and that, as we know, is not always the case. So setting those expectations. And then listing the steps for each person that they can take to personally prepare, identifying the 9 essential emergency kit items, and identifying and necessary elements to design their own family and community emergency plans. So these outreach and presentation venues were held, as I said, at health fair forums, meetings, senior center libraries, and door-to-door and one-on-one. The strategies and methodologies that the promotoras used were presentations. They also use a lot of theater presentations and plays and skits, because that's very popular. You know, the whole telenovela, which is basically soap operas in Spanish, is very popular. So having plays and skits at community events was a kind of a big hit. And then having displays for table and at different events to kind of just generate informal chats. Health fair tables, and then family gathering and events. And different materials were adapted from different sources. Like I said, we adapted some materials from the Take the Lead campaign, some materials from Maryland, Montgomery County, Maryland, APC, with training and so forth. And then the promotoras also developed their own outreach materials, as well as their own evaluation matrices to keep track of this. So the results and outcomes from this campaign, which was actually a lot shorter than the first one, I think this one was, once they actually got rolling on the community, about a month and a half to 2 months, because we had a very short time frame of the funding. But regardless, over 75 presentations in the community were delivered, and over 16,000 persons received information regarding emergency preparedness, either individually or in a group setting. Over 7,000 registrations of people who signed in and filled out emergency ID cards, over 20 community health events and tables and displays, reaching over 600 participants. They held over 10 health fairs, reaching over 1,000 participants. They had 5 theater play skits, reaching 300 participants, and then 2 Spanish language radio and TV interviews, really discussing emergency preparedness on the ethnic media channels. There was also 13 community and neighborhood emergency meeting points that were identified. So we have now a map in certain communities of, you know, where they've identified. So we know, you know, if it's a certain church, we can send information to that church, and we know that there's going to be a mass gathering there during an emergency. 48 neighborhood groups were also formed, with a coordinator, and each of those groups received their own emergency kit. And so you guys can read the rest, but about 75% of the participants were also very interested in enrolling under County's Alert SEC system. And so, like I said, the promotoras did an excellent job of collecting the data and the results of the campaign, and they also collected some snippets of participant comments, and there were a lot of great ones, but I chose a few, 3 to kind of just showcase kind of the impact on the community. So the first is, the guide to develop a family plan helped me a lot to organize my family. I did not know how to get started. Another participant's comment was, I already knew much of this information, but seeing it in a play encourages me to begin gathering my 9 articles. Another comment, I have an emergency kit, but I got more ideas regarding other things to keep in there, and it made me think about other things like where to shut off the gas. As soon as I get home, I will ask my husband. And then my favorite comment of all the comments is, it's a good thing that the government, Department of Health, provides us information. Sometimes we think they don't do anything for us. So to conclude with some lessons learned here, the first lesson is that the promotora model really does help increase family and community emergency planning by just raising awareness of different types of public health emergencies and how to prepare, and then by assisting community members in actually developing their plans and creating their emergency kits. I think that's the most valuable part, that they actually were developing their plans right there with the promotoras and actually putting kits together. And it also establishes a direct and trusted link into the community you're trying to serve. And I think that's invaluable. I mean, the promotoras are trusted. People know who they are. They're in the community. They live in the community. And they know, people know who they are. And they know that they're doing, you know, all kinds of outreach campaigns and have a lot of information. And finally, it enhances your department's credibility and trust with your community. The other lesson is around promotoras being utilized before and during an emergency and even after an event. Acting as a liaison, they act as a liaison between your department and the community members to help foster a deeper community relationship and trust before an actual emergency starts or strikes, which is key because you don't want to develop those relationships during an actual emergency. It's a lot more work, as we know. Educating and raising awareness and assisting community members create their own family plans, and then providing timely and accurate emergency-specific information during an emergency, which is really key, to have a street team out there. Because, you know, when we're dealing with an emergency, we're dealing with all kinds of the emergency response components, setting up the clinics and so forth. And so having an actual team that's just dedicated out in the community to get information out there is invaluable. And finally, the last lesson learned is formulating a promotora training program on public health emergency preparedness is not as hard as it looks. You can actively recruit and train existing or develop new promotoras in your community. And you can also maintain a list of promotora leaders, group, and members in your key stakeholders list in your emergency disaster plan. So making sure you have their contact, all their information into your stakeholders section of your plan is key, so that you can reach out and contact them when need be. And then reviewing other existing promotora emergency programs and training materials and emergency prep. So, for example, the Monterey County APC materials. And so I'm going to hold my questions to the end. So thank you very much for your time.